We are walking slowly through the first letter of John, and we're only now up to the seventh verse of the first chapter. And this will be a bit of a series that we'll see. As you know, we do in the program, on Mondays we have my homily, on Fridays we have Father Adriano, and so the three programs in between are going to be, at least for now, this series on 1 John. So we were at the sixth verse yesterday, and we are talking about having fellowship, and the sign that we are truly having fellowship with Christ is, in fact, that we are united with him in such a way that it comes in our actions. You know, if we say that we have fellowship with him, but do not act in the truth, let me read it exactly. If we say we have fellowship with him, why will we continue to walk in darkness? We lie and do not act in the truth. Remember that verse, and that was it all about. We can say all day long. It's kind of like some people will point out, certain politicians will say they're Catholics. I'm not going to get into any names. And certain politicians, and they go, they say they're Catholics. They're not living the Catholic faith. And my response to that is, they can say they are the mayor of Bugo, which is on the planet Duke, and tell people that until the cows come home. Doesn't mean anything. Just because you say it doesn't mean anything. And that's what Jesus is saying here, or actually John is saying here, that what we're actually called to do, we can say that until the cows come home. And eventually the cows do, in fact, come home. I don't know if you knew that. But you can say that until the cows come home. But ultimately what happens is that it doesn't mean anything if it's not being put into action, if you're not showing what you are saying. As the saying goes, we find this a lot in the evangelical world, walking the talk, if we're not walking the talk. So if we say we have fellowship with him, as we were discussing yesterday, but we continue to walk in darkness, then it's a lie. As a matter of fact, that's the law. We lie. We do not act in the truth. And remember that tons of people can say they're Christians. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, yeah, you know, tons of people can say that. Tons of people can say they're Catholics. Tons of people can say they're Catholics and go to church every Sunday and still not produce anything that Christ is calling us to do. Remember, that's always one of the things as well. We have to produce fruit. We have to show that we are walking the talk. So we can say it until the cows come home. And remember, the cows do eventually come home. But we can say it forever, but we have to act in what we believe, not just say what we believe. So then we go to verse 7. And verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. So that's the other part of it. We walk in the light. What is the light? The light is the wisdom of God, is the truth of God. It is the goodness of God. In other words, if we are in relationship with Christ and that relationship affects our lives, if we are people of prayer, if we are living in prayer, if we are seeking to do the right thing, if we are rooted in Christ and that wisdom from our relationship transforms us and leads us to live in such a way that it does transform us, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So that means that we are repentant and we are choosing to walk the path that leads us to Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's important to understand that it doesn't mean anything if you are not in relationship, if you're not in fellowship with him. And that's important. So that means you have to have a prayer relationship with him. You are united with him in the church. You are united with him in your prayer. And you're living your life rooted in sincerely seeking to do the will of God. Then you can say that you are walking in the light. Now, someone may come along and say, you assume this is walking in the light, but in fact, it isn't. And that may happen. You know, we may share our faith with one another. And just because someone isn't Catholic doesn't mean that we turn around and say, well, they're not Catholic. They can't possibly know Jesus. Oh, you'd be surprised. You would be surprised. So please don't walk down that path. And if you turn around and say, well, I don't think Fulton Sheen would say something like that. Actually, he would. He would, because he did. And I think I've told you that before. He said the greatest series at the time for his time, the greatest Bible commentary was written by Barclay, and I think he was a Presbyterian. And he says, this is the greatest Bible commentary. And he said, he's talking to priests, don't even go there. I forget exactly how he expressed it, but basically it was this way. Don't even go there and say he's not Catholic, therefore we shouldn't read it. And no. I took a course at Gordon College on preaching. It was a seminar. I took a seminar at Gordon College on preaching. Now, if you know anything about Gordon College is an evangelical school. Why? Because evangelicals are great preachers. So I took a course at Gordon College, even though it's an evangelical school. Why? Because they're great preachers. What are we doing? We are sharing our faith. Even though we may have doctrinal issues, we still are sharing our faith. So I did that. The other thing is there used to be a great publication put out by Christianity Today, not a Catholic publication, called Leadership Journal. I loved it. It was actually wonderful. It has since gone out of publication. Not a Catholic journal, but it taught me so much about how to live as a person who leads congregations. Not a Catholic journal. People still were interested in sharing their faith. We're going to talk more on the other side of the break. Did you ever want to have some form of input into the homily preparation of a priest? Do you ever want to share with a priest or deacon ideas you may have for him to preach at Mass? Well, let me invite you to CatholicAudioMedia.com. Click on Input for Homily in the top left side of the page and follow the instructions there. Your words may have a great input on what is preached at St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. So remember, CatholicAudioMedia.com, click on Import for Homily and follow the instructions. And your words may make a difference in what is preached at St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. St. Anthony Parish, Alston, Massachusetts. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Check out the website. Check out the archives of the program. Check out the Substack newsletter. Check out the parish. Know you can connect to the parish. And remember, you have a standing invitation to the 10 o'clock a.m. Mass on Sundays. And I'm giving some thought to whether or not to start a 5 o'clock in the afternoon Mass. If you have any ideas on that, please let me know. Any thoughts or whatever. This would be also technically for the Alston Brighton area, and it would be in English. We have another community there that speaks Brazilian Portuguese, and so we work our schedule around each other. And you're welcome to attend the Brazilian Portuguese Mass too, as well. That's at 8 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and 7 o'clock at night. If you want to experience Mass in Brazilian Portuguese, it's a little bit different than the Mass we celebrate in English. However, it is still a Catholic Mass. You're welcome to. But the Catholic Mass, 10 o'clock a.m. Mass on Sundays. You're welcome to come. So anyway, we're talking about this reality of making sure that you're walking the talk and understanding that within context. And just before the break, I talked about the importance of recognizing that there are people who are living the faith who may not be Catholic. And for those who aren't Catholic, there are people living the faith who are Catholic. But living the faith who may not be Catholic, and don't turn around and say, well, you know, they're not Catholic, so we shouldn't listen to them. Fulton Sheen would say, do not listen. Now, obviously, we want to listen to everything within the context of how we understand our faith. And I can give you a great example of this. And if you are evangelical listening to this, I think you'd appreciate this. It might have happened to you in reverse. One of my favorite places in the entire universe is Julian, California. I haven't been there, obviously, in years because I haven't lived in California for years. But it was Julian, California. It's up in the mountains. As a matter of fact, a little quick story. When I was in the Navy, the ship pulled out and one of the members of our division missed the ship's movement, which, you know, he just wasn't on the ship when we pulled out of port. And that is a huge, huge problem. So the chief said, what would you do if that was you? And I, you know, the other guys say, wow, this is what I do. I'd run down to the boat pool and I'd make sure I get to the ship right away. And he says, Carr, what would you do? I says, I'd go to Julian for the week because I'm in trouble as it is. What difference does it make? He got very upset and he made sure that when this guy was brought before the captain didn't give him the traditional punishment, which is dropping a pay grade and everything else. And then the chief came to me right away and said, see, it doesn't happen every time. Aha, my little experience of Julian helped some guy to keep his rank. So, but anyway, we're out in Julian and we were Catholics. I was new to returning to the Catholic Church. Remember, I had been away from anything religion for quite some time, except for the religion of drinking beer. And so there I was out there in Julian with a couple friends. And this guy approached and he started talking about Jesus. And we were into that. But then he said, oh, you're Catholic. Well, Catholic Church is wrong and you shouldn't listen to the Catholic Church. And you know what? Now, how much more can he teach me about Jesus after that? Zero. Zero. And it would be the same thing if I did the same thing to him. Oh, no, don't listen to the evangelicals because of zero. And then he wanted to say this little prayer with us. Well, I'm sorry. You know, don't walk down that path. If we are sincere in our following of Christ, we will have fellowship with one another. If we are sincere, we will be challenged by Christ. If we are sincere, we will be true prophets. True prophets, not people just walk around and bonking people over the head, but we'll be true prophets. But that is if we are sincere, if we have this relationship with God, and as Catholics, we experience it within the Catholic Church. We understand it that way. But we also understand that someone else who is seeking to be sincere in Christ, who is not someone who is turned away from the Catholic Church, but is seeking to be truly sincere, may have things to share with us that we don't turn around and say, go away. So that's important too. So we want to understand that and we want to seek because we want to be transformed by Christ. We want to be sincere in Christ. We want to be challenged by Christ. And if our relationship with Christ is sincere, it may be a great challenge. And that's something as well. It may lead us to be make that prophetic stand that is always very difficult. Father Adriano, tomorrow, have yourself a blessed day. You know, we have a website for our programs that will connect you to the parish, the blog, and to share your prayer requests with us. If you've been touched by our program, you can even show your support through your donation. We are at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's all one word, CatholicAudioMedia.com. It is updated regularly with blog posts and podcasts of the program. So stay connected with us and tell us how this show has touched your heart. CatholicAudioMedia.com. In Cristo vivimos.